Amen. Sing to be a child of the King. Amen. Isn't that good? Thank you, Carol. Appreciate that. I trust that you are a child of the King as well. You can become a child if you're not by trusting Christ as Savior, being born again, asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Boy, what a blessing to be a child of the King. And if you are saved today, you'll like this passage. If you're not saved, you can like this passage. You just need to get saved. And because this passage is all about Jesus coming quickly. That's what he says. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly, he said. Verse 12, he said, and behold, I come quickly. And I'll tell you, I am excited that Jesus is coming soon. I really believe that. And so I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. I come quickly. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Thank you for all the good music. Thank you for everyone gathered here today. And I pray, Lord, especially for one who may be here who's not saved, that today would be the day they would be saved. Lord, certainly they're not ready for you to come. Lord, it'd be exciting if you just came during this message. Lord, if you came at the end, at the invitation. But Lord, we know that you're coming. We just don't know when, and help us to be prepared. And I pray for Christians, Lord, that we would be ready for you to come, that we would be busy, that we'd be serving, that we'd be right in the center of your will for our lives, so that when you come, Lord, we'll be ready and we'll be excited about it. And I pray we all would be excited about your coming, because I believe it is soon. Bless now. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, of course, is an exciting passage. It's one that gives hope. Talking about the return of Christ, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible, at the end of that passage, it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Certainly the idea of heaven, the idea of Jesus' return, the idea of us going to heaven, the idea that Carol just sang about being a child of the King, and he's building a palace for me over there, the Bible says, a mansion. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, certainly if your heart's troubled today, don't let it be troubled. Jesus is coming. He's coming one of these days, and it could be today. I like the way he starts out here in with his idea that he's coming quickly. He says, behold. In other words, he's saying, hey, look, an important event is about to take place. Behold, look. Pay attention. Lift up your heads, and your redemption draweth nigh. Behold, something's about to happen. You know, if you just look around, you'll realize something's got to happen. It's got to happen. I mean, things are going very, very fast in the area of what theologians call eschatology, the return of Christ, the last days, the last things. I mean, things are going fast. It's exciting. We live in an exciting day. Do not misunderstand when you read the paper and say, oh, everything's bad. Well, the fact that everything's bad is God told us everything was going to be bad. You say, well, there is more technology than ever. And the Bible told us there would be lots of technology and men would know lots of things. And boy, you know, things are the hustle and the bustle and the world is getting smaller. Now, not really. Don't, you know, that might be a global warming thing. But what I mean is people travel to other countries to do their job and come back and with airlines and everything else. You know, somebody said, preacher, do you think the airlines are really in trouble? Oh, don't worry about the airlines. Everything's going to be all right. We'll still be able to fly. And, you know, one of these, well, I'm not going to tell you what I think, but we'll always be able to fly if they don't borrow our transporter and start transporting people like we did at Bible school a couple years ago. You know, it's an exciting day we live in. You know, the world is, like I say, it seems to be shrinking. Cell phones, you call people, and it's so easy now to make a phone call. Isn't it amazing? We didn't used to have cell phones. We used to be attached to that that cord that plugged in the wall. And we had to sit there and talk on the phone. And when you're driving along, you didn't have a cell phone where you could call somebody. You had to wait until you got to another phone. And you had to memorize that card. Or before those, you had to put money in the pay phone and just keep feeding it. And the operator would come on and say, I'm sorry, your time is almost up. Put more money, you know. And you had to throw those quarters and dimes in there and everything. And now we have cell phones. And it's going fast. It's exciting, and it's an exciting day that we live in. And I just love verse 12. And I want to talk to you about that. He says, "Behold, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." We just finished our vacation Bible school, and of course we had an Olympic theme, and we had the little pedestal out there, and we gave out the gold and the silver and the bronze medals. And of course the Olympics worldwide, not quite as big as what we did, but it's about ready to start. And boy, some of you are just really, you're struggling today, I can tell. But the Olympics is about to start, and boy, what an exciting time when somebody, all the work that they've put into it, all the effort they put into that event, whether it's running or swimming or some other kind of event, all that effort, well, when they finally get that medal. That's an exciting time. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about here in verse 12. He says, "My reward is with me." I mean, he's got the ribbons. They're going to be with him. He's got the rewards. He has the crowns that he's going to give out as the rewards. And boy, what an exciting day. His coming, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing for the Christian. Well, tell your face. Amen. It's a good thing. His reward is with him. He's going to come and the reward is with him. And boy, what an exciting day. I want to show you some things in this verse. Number one, I want you to see who it is that's coming. Who is coming? He says, behold, I come quickly. Talking about the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And you understand, he is coming. The same Jesus who came. Boy, Christmas time, we get all excited and celebrate the birth of Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And we get all fired up about that. Hey, listen, the same Jesus, he's coming again. And he's going to come just exactly like he said. Look, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, talking about Jesus. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." There is no greater power than that, folks. Resurrection power, that is power. And it says, "And set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet." That would be all things. That would be all governments. That would be all kings. That would be those that hate him. That would be those that defile him. That would be those that rise up against him. Every one of them is put under his feet. He has all power and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That Jesus, he's coming. He's coming. And you know, Antichrist will rise up and he'll be powerful. And the false prophet will be at his side representing religion. And they'll be powerful. But my God is the God from the beginning who's always been. To the end he'll always be. And he's always stayed the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always be. And he's coming back. And he will rule and he will reign and nobody's going to stop him. You know, it's interesting when you study about the second coming of Christ and the battle of Armageddon and you think about all those armies and how powerful, you know, our armies are, Iran, I guess, is going to have nuclear weapons now and who knows how many people actually have nuclear weapons. I mean, they teach you how to do all that on the internet. And so who knows what kind of fruitcake is going to have the nuclear weapons, but all these armies are going to get together with all their weapons and they're going to point them at Jesus and they can't phase him. Can't even phase him. Can't happen. He's coming back. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the one who died on a cross to pay for our sins. I'm talking about the one who was beaten, bloodied, his beard was pulled out of his face. I'm talking about the one who was nailed to a cross. He was mocked. He was laughed at. He was spat upon. He was cursed at. He was tortured. He was crucified. But guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back. And you know, the devil, he seems to have a lot of power today, doesn't he? He's the prince of the power of the air. God let him have that. And you know, prince of the power of the air, wouldn't that include the internet? Wouldn't that include radio waves? Wouldn't that include television waves? It looks like he's got control over everything, doesn't he? It looks like the devil's But listen to me. Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And the devil will be defeated. You know, even today, as he was cursed at the cross, he's still cursed today. Even today, as he was not believed in, as he hung on a cross, he's still not believed in. Most people do not believe in Jesus Christ. Most people use his name as a cuss word. He's coming back. That Jesus is coming back. The one who died for you and I, he's coming back. You know, the world today, they don't care how you pray. You can pray. They just don't want you to pray in Jesus' name. I believe Brother Williams talked about that. You know, you can pray to Buddha. You can pray to other gods. Don't talk about Jesus, though. Guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back. When he does, until he does, we can keep talking to him, keep praying, use the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus is the one who said, "Behold, I come quickly. I'm coming," Jesus said. Not a replacement, not somebody else. He said, "I am coming quickly." Glory to God. Number two, what? What's he doing? Well, he's coming back. He's coming. He said, "I come quickly. I'll be there." You know, a couple things about that. First of all, it's a result of a promise in Acts chapter 1, 11. Look at it. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, 11. You know the story. Jesus is going up to heaven, but he gives a promise to his disciples and to you and I. He says, verse 10, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" He's coming back. The promise is already in the Scripture. It is already written. Just as he came, as we celebrate Christmas, just as he came up out of the grave as we celebrate Easter, hey, he's coming back just like he said. No question about that. He said he would. He said he would. You know, a lot of people, when he died on the cross, I guarantee there were a bunch of people said, he said he would raise himself from the dead, but he ain't going to do that. Isn't it interesting how they guarded him with all those soldiers? How they roll a stone in front of the grave? You know, he can't do that. Let me tell you something. The devil knows the power of God. And he can do all he wants to deceive many. And I'll tell you, many are deceived. There's people here deceived. Because I got news for you. If you're on the devil's side, you're on the losing side. If you're on the devil's side, you're on the defeated side. If you're on the devil's side, hey, Jesus is coming back. I love the story. And many times I've heard it likened to the return of Jesus when Douglas MacArthur when he left the Philippines, and you know, in World War II, and the Philippines were taken, and he told those men, he said, "I will return." And so much hope was in those words. So much hope of men that would starve, and men that would suffer, and men that would have to march to the death camps there. And just what a terrible, terrible thing. But they held on to those words of a general who said, "I will return." And he did return. But I've got something even better than that, Christian. You sit here today and you say, you know, it looks like we're losing. It looks like we're being defeated by the powers of darkness, and it looks like we're in trouble, and I'm in trouble, and I'm going through some tough times. Listen to me. He said, "I'll come back." He will come back. And I'm talking about he'll be here. He'll come back and come and get us. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Do you understand that the people in Jesus' day, and just after those disciples, I believe, day after day, they watched. You know what's sad? We don't really believe it. In fact, some of you hope it doesn't happen. Well, what about this? And you know, there's only one group of people I can sort of understand that. That would be young people who maybe want to grow up, find out what it's like to be married, want to grow up, find out what it's like to go to college and do some of those kinds of things. I could kind of understand them saying, you know, I'm not real sure about this. But you know what's sad are the Christians, the older people who sit here today and say, well, you know, what about this and what about that? You know, we ought to be thrilled that He's coming. We ought to be thrilled that He's coming. He's coming. Amen. But obviously, just like when Mom and Dad said, I'm going to inspect your room in just a few hours, we're a little nervous about that. Right? We're a little nervous about when the boss says, well, I'm going to inspect the job sometime. I'm not going to tell you when. I tell the story all the time about when I worked at the gas station. That was back when you actually worked at a gas station. We pumped the gas. We had to wash all the windows, wash the headlights, get all the bugs off. I remember the little squirt thing sometimes. We'd have that squirt thing. It'd be so cold outside, you squirt it on somebody's windshield and it'd freeze right over the windshield. That's a pain. You know, I mean, I remember that. And we had inspectors. They would actually park in the parking lot across the way and they would watch us. We never knew when they were coming. You say, well, if you knew, you could always make sure you did it right. You know what we did? We just did it right. Because we didn't know. That's exactly why we don't know when Jesus is coming. He just could come any time. Hey, is your room clean? Hey, is the job done? That's the only reason we wouldn't be excited about Him coming. I mean, to see Him, to see His face, to see His eyes, to see His hands that were pierced by the nails, to see His feet that were pierced by the nail. Hey, to see the body that was broken for you and I. We have communion. We say, oh, praise the Lord. But you don't want to see Him. We have communion, which is a symbol of His blood, which is a symbol of His flesh. But you don't want to hold His hand? And you sit here today, you say, boy, preacher, you know, you really hit the nail on the head. I'm just not as excited as you are about that. Let me tell you something. That's why we have an altar call at the end of this thing. I'll be honest with you. You should be. You should be. It's a result of a promise. It's a result of signs being fulfilled. Look at Luke 21, verse 28. And boy, I'll tell you, the signs are being fulfilled. Luke chapter 21, verse 28, and certainly could take a whole hour, 2 hours, looking at all the different fulfillments of prophecy. And maybe we'll do that sometime soon. But I just want to hit a couple things and just really in general. And when these things begin to come to pass, did you see that? When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Do you know God's people aren't looking up anymore, Brother Hawkins? God's people aren't looking around. We're not watching. We're not looking at the sky. Hey, Jesus could come at any time. You know, we just don't really believe it, I guess, because I'll be honest with you, we're ignoring a lot because of signs. Hey, you know, we each day we see different signs being fulfilled. Bible talks about earthquakes, and all you have to do, look up the word earthquake on the internet or look it up in an encyclopedia, a new, and it's more and more than ever. They're talking about some of these faults just splitting, and we've heard it for years. Yeah. They talk about that all the time. Oh, it's real. It's real. And you know, why should we be shocked when those things happen? Why should nuclear weapons going to Iran, why should that surprise us? I mean, that's what so much, it seems, of the prophecy describes nuclear weapons. Their eyes burning out of the eye socket, the skin melting off of them. I mean, do you understand? That describes a nuclear bomb or something like it. Oh, those days are happening. Those things are happening today. Those things are happening now. The wars and the rumors of wars. It is more than ever. There's wars going on all over the world. You know, we're involved in a war. The war with terrorists. And you know, to me, I'm not sure that war will ever end. Boy, it's an exciting day, isn't it? You say, yeah, I'm a little nervous about it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I'm listening for the trumpet. Amen. I think the trumpet's going to sound any time. I'm waiting on the shout, come up hither! And we're gone. I mean, boom, like that, we're gone. You know, one of the things that's so exciting in this election, Brother Harnden, you might want to plug your ears a second. But I'll be honest, I'm excited about this election. I'm probably as excited about an election as I've ever been. Because this election is telling us, it's showing us the ability for someone to rise up and become very, very powerful. And people, human beings, aren't even interested in their record. They don't even care. It's what do they say today? It's what do they promise us now? Do you understand? That is a perfect description of the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying anybody's the Antichrist. I'm just saying, you know, we live in a day where people do not care what they've done. They care about what they promise us now. What can this person do for me today? That's the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the Bible, he will give flattering words. Read the book of Daniel. Flattering words. It's not, well, he massacred these people, or he voted this way, or he did this. It's, what's he saying now? And people are buying it because the media sells it. And we don't want to hear anything else because we don't want to hear anything bad. Oh, you talk about the blind leading the blind and all of them falling in the ditch together. Huh? We see it today. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just saying it's amazing that rising up. Do you understand? The Antichrist is going to be accepted worldwide. How can that be? Oh, because the media is going to make it all happen. The media, the internet, the blogs, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, this world is now ready, probably more than this world's ever been ready, to embrace the Antichrist, who they will. They will take the Antichrist. They will wrap their arms around him. They will accept. Now listen to me. I'm talking about a man possessed with Satan himself. A man set to fight against God Almighty. And the world is ready to hug him. Today. That's our day. That's now. And I'm telling you, folks, the world's ready for that. The world is ready for the false prophet. I made the mistake. I read the paper again. And I found out the Pope is now, he's got all the Buddhists and the Muslims and they're all getting together. Can't we all just get along? Huh? Boy, they're all just getting along. Well, it doesn't matter what we... You know what scares me the most? Just sit still a second. You know what bothers me the most? Is there's people right here saying, oh, it shouldn't matter what we believe. What do you mean it doesn't matter what we believe? It's what we believe that people have shed their blood over the years. The martyrs, the early church, the Christians who've died for what they believe. You listen to me. It does matter what you believe. But the world's ready. And there's people all over here. Well, why should we not get along with everybody? Listen to me. I can get along with everybody, and we ought to be nice to everybody, and we ought to be kind to everybody, but I'm standing for what I believe, and I'm not compromising what I believe. And this world is ready for the false prophet. Ready for him. Isn't it interesting? The Bible calls him false prophet, and you're all waiting on somebody to stand up and say, hi, I'm the false prophet. Hello. That isn't going to happen, just like the serpent didn't come to Eve and say, hi, I'm Satan, and I want you to go to hell. He was subtle. He deceived. And this world is ready to be deceived. And the false prophet and the Antichrist will come together and they will yoke up as government and religion. And boy, everybody's going to buy it. No Bible, no doctrine. Everybody just getting along with each other, holding hands with one another. And the world's ready for it. Now, you know, I say all that because when all that starts to happen in the tribulation, I'm not here. If you're saved, you're not here. I'm excited because I watch it. It's a sad thing, and yet it's a wonderful thing because he's coming. He's coming. Pestilence, the Bible talks about. AIDS is going wild. Cancer is going wild. Disease is going wild. They've got all kinds of new diseases. They don't know how to explain them. And all of that is in your Bible. It's all prophecy of the end times. The one world government, the one world religion. How about the fight over oil? We don't know anything about that, do we? Huh? They're talking about, you know, everybody's talking about all the options to oil and we need to do this and wind power and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. We'll never do without oil. So how do you know? The Bible says so. War over oil. It is gonna get worse. I don't know if prices are or not, but it doesn't really matter because one of these days, and what they're after is the cashless society where nobody has, by the way, it makes sense. You know, if you don't have any cash, nobody will want to rob you. Let me see if you want to rob me or not. You might. You know, cashless society and credit cards too, because you could always use somebody else's credit card. That's why eventually we're going to all have computer chips in our right hand or on our forehead. All they got to do is scan us. Can you imagine the day, Brother Korea, we're going to walk in the store, we're going to get all of our items, put them in the cart, we're going to go through the door, it's going to count everything that we just bought, it's going to take the money out of our account, it's going to tell the inventory sheet how much was taken, we're going to be charged, it'll come out, and we'll never have to sign anything or do anything. Just that computer chip's going to scan us. You say, I'm not going to be scanned. Hey, we said a lot of things about what we would and wouldn't do. But it all makes sense. No cash. It's the end. Praise God, it's the end. Amen. Might be. I know some of you say, well, what about my plans? Well, what about Jesus coming? Amen. It's far better than any plan you and I could ever have. Amen. I'm excited about it every time. I tell you all the time, that barcode thing, I don't remember when it came out. It's been a long, long time. But I get so excited every time I check out. And I don't go to the store very often. I'm a little dangerous in the store. But I get excited. Boop, 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 boop. You know how it is. I mean, I remember when they used to go. You know? And it took forever. Now just boop, boop. That's exciting. That is so exciting. Why, preacher? You say, because you know what? It's possible. I'm seeing more and more how someday when the Antichrist rules and reigns, he will say you have to have his mark. You will have his computer chip, whatever it is. It may not be a computer chip by then. Who knows what they'll invent, but you will have to have that thing or you will not buy and sell. You will not register. You will not be able to eat. Huh? But you know, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, eating T-bone steak and not worrying about anything fat about it being a problem. I'm going to be sitting down eating a baked potato loaded with all the real butter, not margarine, I said butter, that I could possibly get. I mean smothered on that thing. And I'm going to eat all the baked potato. I'm going to eat the skin. I'm not going to worry about carbs. I'm not going to figure out how many carbs. I'm going to eat chocolate. I'm going to swim in Chocolate River. Chocolate. I'll jump out of that and I'll get in Chocolate Lake. I'll eat up all the lake, glory to God, and I won't worry about the sugar. I won't worry about being fat. I won't, and all the other stuff will go on, but bless God, I'll be with Him because He's coming to get me. See, Jesus said, I come. I'll be there. And He doesn't need our vote. He doesn't need our permission. He doesn't need our request. He said He's coming, whether we want Him to, whether you don't want Him to, and I want Him to today. Number three is when, He says quickly. That was 2,000 years ago. About 2,000 years ago, He said, I come quickly. Quickly. Amen. Well, it's a whole lot quicklier than it was then. 2,000 years ago. Amen. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. It's imminent. That means it could be any time. Any time He could come. Before I finish this message, He may come. Before this day is out, He may come. He may come on Monday. He may come on Tuesday. He could come anytime. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. All of 1 Corinthians 15, there's some good things in there. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's coming anytime. Anytime He could come, and He's coming soon. Amen. I mean, you know, just get an idea. You're here today and you're not safe. He'll come into your heart quickly too. You know, when I called upon Him as a 17-year-old boy, I was lost on my way to hell under great conviction, feeling the guilt of my sin weighing me down and the punishment that I was going to face in hell. It was weighing me down. But all I had to do was say, dear Jesus, please forgive me and come into my heart. Boom, He came. That's quick. That's quick. By the way, when there's sorrow in your life, He'll come quickly as a comforter too. Oh, can He get His arms around you quick if you call on Him? It's amazing how we call everybody else, but we don't call the comforter. We don't call Him. When there's a need, He comes quickly too. Hey, let me ask you, are you ready for Him to come? He said, I come quickly. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're not ready. I promise you that. Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may not get a second chance. Number four is where. Where's He coming? First of all, He comes in the air. We call that the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, I talked about that earlier. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You ought to write these down. You ought to understand the events and all that is about to happen. And you ought to kind of know the timeline. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the very next thing that is to take place, the next thing in Bible prophecy is, we call it the rapture of the church. The Bible says in verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He comes first in the clouds, and He calls us up to Him, and blink, we're gone. That's an exciting thought. You know, I mean, you kind of wonder if there might be a little slow motion, you know, involved where you can kind of just enjoy the moment. You know, those with glasses, you can throw them off because you're not going to need them. Those with crutches, you can throw them down because you're not going to need them. Amen. If you wear contacts, you can pop them out because you're not going to need them. If you have your channel changer, you can drop it because you're not going to need it. You're worried, aren't you, that you're not going to find out what happened? Oh, let me tell you. The rapture, He comes in the air. What an exciting thing. What an exciting thought. All Christians called to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. I don't remember how fast a twinkle is. Brother Chase, how fast is a twinkling of an eye?
It says 1/100th of a second.
I knew you'd know that. 1/100th of a second. That's fast. Blink, and we're gone. And you're here, and you're not saved. And all of a sudden, everybody's gone. You're going to know what happened.
That's right.
I remember so clearly hearing a preacher preach on this the night I got saved. And that preacher preached on that, and in my mind, literally, I went to the day that I was left behind. And the Christians were gone. And I remember in my mind driving my car, and there were cars wrecked all over the place. Because you know, when Christians just go like that, whatever you're doing, it just goes on doing. You're gone. And the Christian that's flying the jet, he's gone. And the Christian who's driving the car, he's gone. And the Christian who's the engineer of the locomotive, he's gone. Oh, what a mess it's going to be. Not for me. I'm going to be gone. Huh? Amen. And we're called up, the Bible says. We're called up to meet Him in the air. And you say, I'm a little nervous about flying. You won't have to be. He'll take care of you. You're just there. I don't think there's any whoosh, where you kind of look around. And I know there won't be turbulence like on a plane. Amen. We're just there. And if you are here and you're not saved, you say, well, preacher, I'll tell you what, when I see that, I'll get saved. No, 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 no. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8, it says, let's see, where'd I go here? 2 Thessalonians, that's probably not right. And when that wicked shall be revealed, yes, okay, here we go. Let's see. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Hey, they're believing the lie now. You know, you go soul winning, and so many people want to believe the lie. Oh, I'm all right. You're not all right if you're not saved. My Bible says in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. And America's not ready to meet God. And the world is not ready to meet God. And dear friend, if you're not saved, you're not ready to meet God. Oh, listen to me. He's coming. He's coming. And if you're not saved, it's going to be too late for you because you've heard. You say, well, I'll see everybody gone. I'll get saved then. Oh, you'll believe the lie. You'll believe the lie. Isn't it interesting, all the space things? I've heard Christian people say, well, you know, I believe that there's aliens and there's people on other planets. And what about the Bible saying Eve is the mother of all living? How about the fact that the earth's only about 6,000 years old? Okay, I promise you, Adam and Eve didn't build a spaceship. They didn't send their children to other planets. Well, go ahead and get quiet on me. I'm just trying to help you out here, huh? Oh, we believe all that. You know, I, in my mind, I see the Antichrist getting up and telling everybody that space creatures came and took away all those weird people. That's us. You know, all those troublemakers, those preachers, those religious people, their bus ministries took them away, so we could have peace and harmony on this earth, and all the world will say, "Amen." Oh, yeah. He's coming in the air first in the rapture. And when he comes, that begins 7 years tribulation on this earth like the world has never seen before. God's judgment on the Jews and everybody else just gets in on it. And boy, it's going to be bad. And then 7 years later, you know where he's coming? He's coming to the earth to set foot on this earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he comes to conquer. Revelation 19, verse 11. Here's a good spot to ask yourself, which army are you going to be in? Because there's going to be two armies. Revelation 19, 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." I mean, there's an army with all their weapons pointed at him. But here he comes on a white horse. And he comes to earth, which has become the devil's domain. And he comes amongst those who rejected him, those who cursed him, those who wanted nothing to do with him, those who shake their fist at him. The world which he created, the world that he loved, a world where he died for the people because he loved them. And he comes to that world. And the people that hate him now will hate him worse when they see him. He's coming in the air. He's coming to the earth after the 7 years tribulation. Number five, how is he coming? Back to Revelation. He said, "I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." How is he coming? He's coming as the Savior in the rapture. He's taking us away from the tribulation. What a precious thought. When you read about the tribulation, do you understand? People talk all the time, well, I'm not going to let them give me a number. I'm not going to let anybody give. They already gave you a number. You have a Social Security number. Everybody's got a number. I'm not worried about that. Just listen to me. If you're saved, you're not denying Christ. You're accepting Christ. Besides that, I'm not going to be put to that. Yeah, we may. I'm not saying we're not going to suffer as Christians. I'm not saying it's not going to get bad in America. I don't even see America in prophecy, so I'm not sure what happens to America. I know that when the rapture takes place, America, of all countries in the world, is going to be a mess. Prime for a nuclear strike by all these other countries. But I know this. I know that he's coming to take me away from that nasty tribulation. He's taking us out of here. What are we doing? We're sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are we doing? We're at the judgment seat of Christ, which is award ceremony. Amen? I mean, he's taking us as a Savior in the rapture, but he comes back after the tribulation as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as the ruler, as the judge. And he's going to lock up Satan. Yeah. Yes, he is. All these people. Boy, there's so many that worship Satan today. So many that are involved in drugs and boy, some of the black music that is available today that starts with your simple little rock and roll. And boy, you know, worshiping Satan, given the hand sign of allegiance to Satan. Oh, they have the Battle of the Bands here in town. And I'll never forget the picture on the front page of the paper and all those people giving their hand sign of allegiance to Satan. Saw several of our church members there. Remember that? Yeah. I thought, man, how sad. How sad. You know what? If Satan is your master, he's going to get locked up. He's going to go to the lake of fire. It's not a good future. God's going to show all of his power. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to reign with him. I don't know if I'll be the mayor of Adrian or Maui. I've been praying about it. I guess if it's a 1,000-year millennial reign, maybe the weather here will be like it is in Maui. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But anyway, the last thing, why is he coming? Well, he says here, his reward is with him to give. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And he will. He will when he comes. Every man will get according as his work shall be. You know, the Christian during the tribulation here on this earth, Christians will be in heaven with him because we've been taken out during the rapture. And the judgment seat of Christ, I believe, will take place then. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 tells us about it. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, it says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that's our works right there. Everything you do as a Christian, it's either gold, silver, precious stones, or it's wood, hay, stubble. That's our works. And every one of us has some wood, hay, and stubble. Everybody has some wood, hay, and stubble. And the Bible says every man's work, notice it doesn't say motive, it says his work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And all that work, whatever, gold and silver and wood and hay and all of that goes through the fire. And notice what it says. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You know, the Bible teaches that we get some of our rewards here. And I've preached about that before. Bible says when a man, for example, when a man gives and he shows everybody what he's given. In other words, he wants everybody to see what he's given. When somebody sees that, let's say that I'm giving and I pull out a $20 bill and Kelvin sees that and Kelvin says, wow, that's my reward. That's it. That is my reward for that. Now, can God use the 20? Well, sure he can. But Kelvin's saying, I mean, instead of wow, he says, while. Okay, that's my reward. That's what I got. Okay, if Brother Korea is fasting and he tells his wife, no, honey, I don't want any food because, I'm making some spiritual decisions in my life and I've chosen not to eat. And she says, oh, honey, you're so wonderful. That's his reward. That's what the Bible, I didn't write it, God did. It doesn't mean he's wicked because he called people up and said, listen to my stomach. It just means that his reward is their reaction. His reward is them saying, oh, thou art holy. That's his reward. Now, I'm going to be honest with you folks. If we think through this a little bit, we would much rather our reward come from him. Amen. Amen. That's why he says the Father will, if you do it in secret, the Father will reward you in secret. He'll take care of you. Amen. You know, I mean, if we instead of going to our prayer closet, which is alone with God, we want to pray in front of everybody, and they say, what a spiritual person he is. That's your reward. And let's say they give you a reward, prayer warrior of the week. Then you got your reward. But I'll be honest with you, I'd much rather have him give the reward. Amen. But that's what it's all about. And it says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. That means that your life, literally, I mean, much of it will go up in smoke. whatever's wood, hay, and stubble, because it burns. So you know, much of what we do is wood, hay, and stubble. I'm not saying it's all sinful and wicked and vile. I'm just saying that which is wood, hay, and stubble is going to all burn up. And that which is gold, silver, and precious stones, then you get a reward. And the Bible talks about crowns. The Bible talks about, all kinds of things. And really, it's all about, God, I could not have done this without you. And literally, we cast our crowns at his feet. Now, if everything you did on this earth as a Christian burns up, then there won't be anything to cast at Jesus' feet. And I know you don't think that matters right now. But I promise you, when you see his eyes, when you see his hands, when you really believe what he did was because he loved you, you'll wish you'd have given him something with your life. Oh yes, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But it's going to be an exciting, exciting time. But I guess I close with this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now Jesus died for us. He literally paid the price for us. And when you call upon him and trust him as Savior, you accept that and you take him as your Savior, and you can have eternal life. But if you choose not to do that, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then what you're saying is, I'll make it on my own. You will receive your wage. You will receive your wage. You will receive the death that is the penalty for sin. That's why the fair is so important this week, because we need to tell people. That's why soul winning is so important, because we need to tell. You say, people don't care. Listen to me. Somebody does care. If you'd have looked at me as a 17-year-old boy, you wouldn't have thought I cared. But in my heart, I just needed to hear. I needed to know the truth. I needed to be set free from the truth. You know why? Because Jesus is coming. He may not come in our lifetime. He may not come in your lifetime. But he could. Well, I'll just take a chance. You take a chance with hell, my friend, if you're not saved. You take a chance, Christian, with not being able to say thank you to Jesus for saving your soul. If your whole life goes up in smoke, everything you've ever done, because everything was wood, hay, and stubble, what a shame that would be. That we would have nothing, no reward to cast at the feet of Jesus saying, thank you, God. I say, let's believe I come quickly. Let's believe he could come this afternoon. Let's believe it, because he said it, and it's true. Let's bow our heads, please.